WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You're a movie star, remember?
You wish to have the curse reversed?
We're going to break an unbreakable Nazi code and win the war.
Oh. Hold on, I got a woman and a kid 200 yards out.
You know what I'm realizing? My life is just gonna go like that.
Oh my God. What have I done?
All right, how many of those did you recognize? Michael Keaton in Birdman, Meryl Streep in Into the Woods, Keira Knightley and Benedict Cumberbatch in The Imitation Game, Bradley Cooper in American Sniper, Patricia Arquette in Boyhood, and Reese Witherspoon in Wild. Great montage put together by our producer, Lisa Allison. And the end of award season is close. The Oscar ceremony is Sunday. As you may know, we've been talking to the creators of the Best Documentary nominees. But that's in some way to balance all the attention that's always focused on the other movies, the ones with actors and actresses. So why do we care so much about these awards and about acting when real life beckons? That's the question that film writer David Thompson tackles in his new book slash essay, Why Acting Matters. He's also the author of the new Biographical Dictionary of Film and joins me now. Welcome to WNYC, David Thompson. Hi.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we want to hear from you too, listeners, especially the actors among us. Why does acting matter so much to you that you're making a career of it, risking being a starving artist? Is it just so you can stay up late and hang out with creative types, or do you also see a higher purpose to your acting? 212-433-WNYC. David, tell us when you realized that acting mattered so much to you.
I think it was about the age of four. Very early on in my film-going career, when I had to sit on my parents' laps just to see, I realized that these people I was watching were not actually real. At first, I thought they really were people behind the screen who were somehow magnified, that they were creations, and I loved them. And I loved them because I identified with them. I wanted them. I wanted to be up there on the screen with them. And as I grew older, I sort of came to the conclusion that whatever the reviews say, whatever the critics say about we go to see a director at work or we go to see a playwright at work, I think the huge majority of people go to see these strange half-ghosts, half-real people on the screen, on the stage. We love to watch people pretending.
And acting as storytelling seems to be part of being human. You use in the book the ancient example of someone reenacting a successful hunt. But when,
yes,
when did acting as a profession get started? Is there a date?
Well, we know that there was great theater in ancient Greece, but I propose in this book that as soon as human creatures or pre-human creatures were able to look at each other and grunt or do whatever they did, acting began. I create a situation in the book of a caveman who encounters a lion one day, and he kills the lion, although the lion leaves him wounded and bleeding, and he goes back to the cave, and he's thinking, well, what shall I tell them? And, you know, he begins to think, should I embellish it a bit? Should I make it broader? Or should I play it down because I don't want to frighten them? Well, that's the beginning of acting. And it's part of my theme in this book that there are professional actors, like the people you've just heard on the air, and we love them, and they're obviously very good at it. But we all of us act. You can't really have a conversation with anyone or a relationship with them without presenting yourself, making the kinds of decisions that actors make when they're playing a part. Now, that may sound as if it's a route to insincerity and duplicity. I don't think it is. I think it's a perfectly natural thing. You and I are talking, and we want each other to understand us. And that's a basic drive in communication. And you have to decide what to say and how to say it, how to make your face work, and things like that.
I mean, Aristotle talked about the catharsis that audiences experience watching tragedies. But at that time, actors wore masks. So when did actors become stars whose own faces we look to for working out whatever we're working out at movies or in the theater?
I think there's no question that this came with the movies. Acting changes. You know, if you go to the theater still, you really can't see too much of the face. But the close-up and the way in which the movies could just dwell on a face, that, I think, is what turned us all into mirror gazers. We're more aware of what our face reveals about us, and I think we're much more sophisticated and canny about the way we look and the expressions we give.
Do you think that theater acting and film acting matter in different ways?
Yes, I think that in theater acting, there is always that sense, this is happening now in our shared space, and there's danger attached to it. The actor could forget a line. The door could fall off its hinges. You know, things that have occurred in plays. And someone could just start to improvise. And we feel how close we are to that. The movies feel pre-designed, controlled, and safe. We know we would not be seeing a movie unless that element of danger had been removed in the process of making it.
212-433-WNYC. Actors, why does acting matter to you? Audiences, why does acting matter to you? 212-433-9692. Alfred in Nassau County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Alfred.
Oh, hey, Brian. Yeah, I years ago I actually tried to quit acting and get a quote unquote real job, and I thought, you know, I haven't made it yet, so I'm going to do my best to try to you know, just make a living and just move on with my life. And I tried it for a year, and I tell you, it didn't work. I couldn't not act. I couldn't see myself as a non-actor. I couldn't perceive of myself without the definition of actor being who I am and what I do.
And what is it? What's that definition for you?
Oh, well, I think it's like anyone who's compelled to do something beyond their control. I think that when I think of it similar to a calling, a religious calling. There's really no. It's very difficult to explain the mechanisms, you know, through which, you know, I feel the need to achieve it. But it's just. It's been. Let me put it this way. In the back of my mind, for my entire adult aware life, I have wanted to be successful and working actor. And you know, the word success is you know, that's a limited word, but that's what I've wanted.
Yeah. All right, Alfred, I'm going to leave it there and go to another actor, Judith in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hi, Judith.
Hi. For me, it's the group process of a creation and pretending together, and also as a background actress, the adventure. You never know where you're going to do, what you're going to do, where you're going to be. It's just so much fun, and I have memories in different parts of the city. Oh, this is where I stood for part, and then they yelled back to one. And I have special spaces all over the city where I stood and then moved on. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Go ahead, David.
I think that the process of rehearsing a play is one of the most joyous and enriching things I've ever been involved with. There is, as your caller said, a kind of comradeship and memories. I have seen actors on the last night of a play who would not leave the stage because that set had become a place where they were living. And they knew the production was over and it was going to be torn down as a set, but they wanted to stay there till the last bitter moment.
Here is a director, Cedric, in Union City. You're on WNYC. Hello.
Good morning.
What do you want to add?
I wanted to add that the importance of acting is the connection between the actor and the audience. It makes emotions safe. It makes them free. Where the actor lives, somebody in the audience can privately experience at the same time something that they ordinarily wouldn't be able to do. And without actors, we don't have that. We don't have that connection, that give and go, that human condition that is shared amongst all of us.
Thank you. Well put. John in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Just two quick things. First, I just wanted to say, you know, I don't remember the exact quote, but something Laurence Olivier say about acting being lying. Maybe somebody remembers that quote exactly. But I always think about that quote, and I always think, no, it's not about lying. It's about telling truth. It's about telling human truth. And we all learn about ourselves and about human nature through identifying with what we see in the theater. And just the other thing that I wanted to say was that, you know, you hear so many actors, especially ones that really made it, say, you know, you should only go into acting if it's the only thing you think you can do and you can't do anything else. And I think that that's totally true. I mean, especially in terms of making it a profession.
Mm-hmm. John, thank you.
But,
do you know that Olivier quote, David Thompson?
Oh, yes. Many actors have said such things. Brando, at the end of his life, was certain it was about acting. And I think it was part of the reason for him not liking himself and what he had done in his career. But, you know, a lot of these calls touch on something that I'm very interested in. We know a tiny fraction of actors, the people who get their name up on a screen or on a theater program. But there are probably 20 for every one like that whose name we will not know. They may have a very hard time making a living out of acting, but they stick with it because of need, emotional need and perseverance. And I think those people are every bit as wonderful as the big stars.
Film writer David Thompson, my guest, author of a new book called Why Acting Matters. And one thing you spend some time with in this essay is how acting styles have changed. You also wrote about this for the Wall Street Journal. We saw from the article, The End of Method Acting. And yet, with each change from relying on technique to relying on emotional truth and back again, it's viewed by audiences as better pretense, right?
Yeah, and there's a very interesting pattern. If you go back to, say, the 18th century, which is really the first time where we have critical writing about performances, every age hails its great actors because of their realism, their naturalism, truthfulness, and the way they do less than actors did before. And then 20, 30, 50 years later, they begin to look a little overdone, a little hammy, and along comes someone else who does less. It's an extraordinarily interesting process, this idea of diminishing effort and increasing effectiveness. And I think generally actors have become more natural as the centuries have passed.
I'm reminded of...
That's how we get in on it, because we're doing our best to be natural.
I'm reminded of John Lovitz's Saturday Night Live character, the Master Thespian.
Yes.
Who's he spoofing there?
I'm not sure particularly, but...
Somebody big.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Big in style.
Yeah.
Lindsay in Greenpoint, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. So I'm an actor, and I've known I wanted to act since I was conscious enough to know what actors were. And I just wanted to echo something that another caller said, is that I think it really is a calling for some people. and that as actors, our job is to hold a mirror up to nature and to give voice to the human experience. And that's why it's so important to me, and it does feel almost religious sometimes, the need to help give voice to these stories.
Thank you very much.
I think that's so true. And if you're the parent of an actor or someone who wants to be an actor, you know all the reasons for recommending caution and having a backup profession and all those things. But the truth is, if your child has the need strongly enough, and if it's really like a spiritual force, then nothing will stop that. And that includes failure. You may not ever quite succeed in the professional sense, but you're doing what you have to do.
Lindsay, thank you very much. Someone just tweeted at us a Sam Shepard quote that acting reveals the flaws in the writing. Ha, that's it.
Yeah, I think that can be. Well, you know,
it's a very humble thing for a playwright to say.
It is, but I do think sometimes actors in the process of rehearsal just feel a certain line doesn't work. It's not true to the person they are discovering, and they may suggest something, and often enough,
yes,
the director, the playwright, the scriptwriter, they can see it. And so that process of rehearsal is essential to any production.
Someone just, I mean the exact quote, just to be clear, was the best actors reveal the flaws in the writing. In your epilogue, you write about how film and television acting let us see time through the changes,
yeah,
to an actor's face, like the experience you had watching Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman right before seeing August Osage County. This year's,
yes,
movie Boyhood, obviously shot over 12 years,
much,
getting raves,
yes,
for exactly that reason. Did you like,
yes,
that movie?
I like Boyhood quite a lot, yeah. But I do think that, you know, film does something that a scrapbook of photographs does. It shows you someone growing up and growing older, and you can see what time has done to the face and the character. And it's a very moving thing sometimes just to compare close-ups of people 50 years apart.
Care to handicap the Oscars at all, or do you have any favorites among the acting nominees?
The well, I think Best Actor will be either Michael Keaton or Eddie Redmayne. However, I'm bound to say that I think one of them will win, in part because David Oyelowo in Selma has not been nominated, when if it had been up to me, he would have been nominated. I think Julianne Moore will win Best Actress. I think J.K. Simmons will win Supporting Actor. And I suspect that Patricia Arquette will win Supporting Actress.
And on Oyelowo not even getting nominated, it's been pointed out that all the acting nominees are white here in 2015.
Well, I know, but I think you have to let time pass. There, you know, we lived through an age when no person of color had ever been nominated. That's changed, and I think we need time for that change to work its way through. I do think Selma was poorly treated, and Oyelowo particularly gives a great, great performance.
And we leave it there with David Thompson, author of the new Biographical Dictionary of Film and his new book, Why Acting Matters. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed this.
Thank you very much.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC. Coming up next, a call-in for Bergen County residents. Do you want to repeal your Sunday blue laws? 212-433-WNYC.